So let's begin by just noticing however you're sitting now. There's this instant change, isn't there? I actually love this, so I hope that you can find a little humor as I have with myself around this. When we take a posture to meditate in, it's a particular posture. Now, I have a real attachment, if you will. Yes, I still have quite a few of them, to crossing my legs. So when I practice, I uncross my legs. And then I started thinking, well, okay, why don't I keep my legs crossed and practice like that and just see, you know? And then I started playing around with, well, what is a meditation posture, you know? And what do I want to be aware of as I begin? What I want to be aware of as I begin is as much as I can be, and that is how I am in the times that seemingly are in transition, or when no one's looking, or so we think, you know, or now I'm meditating, now I'm not. I find it really interesting to be aware of our posture in general, physical, emotional, behavioral, mental, however you want to look at it, all of that, all of our facets, let's say, from one moment to the next without having to formalize so much. So if you just shifted to sit, that's fine. But I think it's also, it can be fun to watch ourselves do things like that, you know. Because the less of a distinction there is between now I'm practicing and now I'm not, the actual more, I think we become what we practice just, you know, from one moment to the next. So with a little humor, we can catch ourselves when we do things like that. So just notice your posture now. And you can notice your posture with your eyes opened or your eyes closed, whatever you prefer. But when I say notice your posture, notice what your feet are doing and how they're placed. Notice any sensations in your legs or how your legs are. See if you can feel your belly. Sense your hands, however they've been placed right now. Feel your shoulders. Your shoulder blades. And then notice the position of the crown of your head, where it's facing. And then find your breath, wherever you feel it the most predominantly right now. And then if it's called for, if you feel that it would be helpful and supportive to you to continue to be guided in meditation or just to sit for about 20 minutes now, if it would be supportive of you to shift or rearrange your posture after what you've just noticed, then please go ahead and do that. So what we can become accustomed to is noticing how we are from one moment to the next, asking ourselves, is this the most supportive thing that I'm doing, thinking, feeling, or not? And then make some kind adjustments because of what we recognize and see and feel. Let's also begin by drawing our intentions forward. Our intentions are really the goodness of our heart. Ask yourself why you came. Remember your intentions for gathering here tonight. Bring your intentions to the front of your awareness to remind yourself of your goodness, to remind yourself of what you are becoming, if not already are. And then check into the body more fully feeling the weight of your bones. The balance, or not so much balance between the left and right side of your body. You might sense that in your feet. You might sense that in your sitting bones. You might just feel yourself lean to one side or another. Perfectly okay. Body has quite a bit of personality. Allow yourself to check into your emotional landscape. How you're feeling, what you came in with. Not so much to dive into the story or reasons or memories, but just to touch in lightly and acknowledge your emotional body, your emotional landscape. And then do the same with your mind, your mental landscape. When you turn to look towards your own mind, what do you experience? It could be visual, it could be an intuitive sense, it could be sound, loud or quiet. Maybe you experience your mind like a mirror. What's in the mirror? Right now. And again, not to analyze or have to figure anything out, but just to recognize this is how the mind is right now. This is how my mind is right now. And then notice your breath. Our breath is a very interesting mirror in and of itself. It reflects our thoughts and our feelings. It reflects the time of day. It reflects our physical posture. There's a steady rhythm of breath right now, fortunately, that we can check into. What does it really feel like? What do you sense in your breath? The culmination of sensations that create awareness of breath. What are they for you right now? Sense the body with the breath from the inside and the outside. The inside experience of breath is the air and the movement that the air creates, pushing and pressing organs and glands in a variety of different ways. The outside experience of breath is how it moves the skin, how it moves our clothing, how it might even, very lightly, move air around us. So we can notice the inside experience of breath and the more of the outside experience of breath. It's not that it's outside of us, but it's more on the outside of our body. And we can notice both. The breath on our surfaces, and the breath deep inside. And as you continue to practice, when you notice a stream of thoughts or a thought or a stream of feelings or feelings, see if you can touch in and notice if it's shifted or rearranged your breath in any way. So when you touch back into your breath, has it moved location? Has it changed its rhythm? Have you just held it for a moment or two? And then allow it to return to whatever natural state it is. So I generally like to bring in a topic of, you know, something that I'm working with or have worked with for a little while, and hopefully something that's interesting to all of you as well. And I think as long as we can find our commonalities, we'll find some common topics. And so as I was thinking about coming here, you know, what I was thinking about talking about has changed a little over the last few days. But what I want to talk about is pain. Do you know what I mean? And that could sound like a bummer, and hopefully it won't be. But it is something that we all experience. Pain, discomfort, suffering, stress, dis-ease. And sometimes that includes an illness or a disease or an injury. But pain, you know, really affects us in all of our beautiful facets of being. And the three main facets that I think we all encompass and are made of are our physical facet, our emotional facet, our mental facet. And then if you wanted to, you can add the energetic facet as well. And I'd like to think of myself as having facets. But, you know, the facets are coming from one singular entity, in a sense, or source, let's say, rather, maybe a better word than entity. And on and off, most of my adult life, I've experienced some sort of physical pain. And, you know, it never comes alone. Physical pain always has its buddy, emotional pain, and emotional pain almost always goes hand in hand with its best friend, mental pain. And so, you know, the physical can create emotional and mental pain, and mental pain can create physical and emotional pain, and emotional pain can create physical and mental pain. So, you know, kind of doesn't matter what comes first or how they arrive, but they tend to arise together as a collective force that we label, I don't like this, or, you know, get me out of here, or how do I fix this, or how do I change that? Maybe not label it, but we struggle like that. So I find it interesting to be interested about things that are uncomfortable, because there are going to be a lot of times for that. And if we approach anything that we're experiencing with some curiosity, it can make it somewhat interesting, at least for moments at a time. So we know that we've been given a human birth, right? We're all aware of that. And we know that given this human birth, that, you know, the body that we're born into is going to shift and change, and it's impermanent, and it will get injured from time to time. And sometimes we aren't well. We have a flu or a cold or an allergy or something like that, or even worse, a disease. And then we know eventually, well, and I think if we're fortunate enough, we might get old, and then eventually the body will cease to exist. So the Buddha taught that there was pain in knowing all of those things. Or suffering, excuse me, in knowing all of those things. But the pain is, as we've heard, optional. And so how do we find that as an option? How do we create an option with anything that we're experiencing? Where are the choices around what we're experiencing or with what we're experiencing? And tonight when I guided you just the little bit that I did, I asked you to notice your physical landscape, your emotional landscape, your mental landscape, and then your breath. And breath can sometimes be the energetic experience. Or it can be reflective of energy. But so can the body, and so can the heart, and so can the mind. You know, so how we tease ourselves apart and put ourselves back together, I think, is quite interesting. But how we can become curious, at least for moments in time, about what we're experiencing that might not be comfortable, is, I think, part of the spiritual practice, why we're here. Why we sit relatively still and look at our own mind and feel our own hearts and register this physical body in the way that we can. And, you know, there are a lot of teachings on working with pain, of the pain, emotional pain, especially strong emotions, and discursive thinking, which is pretty strong mental pain, and a little bit more in the last couple of decades around chronic physical pain, or physical pain in general, whether it's chronic or just acute or occasional. And one of the things that I've noticed that I think is really interesting and poignant to bring forward is that we can be experiencing something that's really uncomfortable, and we don't have to like it. We can experience something that's uncomfortable, not like it, and still maintain a fair amount of openness about it. So that might seem a little paradoxical, and physically sometimes it's very paradoxical. So let me explain what I mean by that. Let's say you have pain in your shoulder, physical pain in a shoulder. Well, what do you do? What does your body do with that physical pain? It starts to tighten up around that area. So let's say I'm feeling some physical pain in my right shoulder, for instance. I tend to want to protect my right shoulder then. And then I will tend, interchangeable. I will start to tighten the area around the shoulder. That might start to tighten up my arm, maybe just the upper arm at first, and maybe a little bit in my neck, and then maybe around my shoulder blade. And, you know, especially if it's an injury, then we're afraid of re-injuring it, or, you know, something like frozen shoulder, we can't lift it because it really hurts. And so the whole area around the little area, this relatively small area of the shoulder, starts to tighten up around the area that feels the pain, almost like, don't worry, I'll protect you. We're going to prevent you from moving too much so that you don't, so you're not vulnerable anymore and you won't get re-hurt, or you won't hurt anymore. And it's a sort of an unconscious thing that the body does, but we can make this conscious, and that's a good thing to make this sort of cascade of tension conscious, because we want to be able to soften around something rather than contract around it, especially in the realm of physical pain. So something might start out relatively small as far as a physical problem or condition, and it grows with time, it ripples until the body starts to really just tighten up around wherever in a way to protect itself. Then what I think can be interesting is that we don't have to like physical pain. I mean, there's nothing that I've read so far, and some of you more adept at the suttas than I am, but there hasn't been anything I've read that says we have to like physical pain or even emotional pain or mental pain. And yet we tend, as practitioners, as Dharma practitioners sometimes, we tend to think, oh, well, it's got to be okay, you know, or my practice isn't strong enough. You know, we judge ourselves for disliking something or not being okay with something. Can you relate? I see a lot of heads. That's good. So it's good to know that you're not alone in this, right? So we don't have to like physical pain, and most of us don't. Some people, you know, do, but that's for different reasons. But I could be a real can of worms. So let's stay on topic, and we don't have to like physical pain, but we can not have to contract around it. That can be a choice, whether we're contracting around physical pain or not. Now, the same thing is true with emotional pain. So let's say something hurts our feelings. Well, what's the initial thing that you might think in your mind or do with your body or even with your breath? Just reflect for a second. We've all experienced heartache. That's big emotional pain, right? What do we do when we feel emotional pain? Well, generally, we try to buckle down, or we contract around it, or we push it away, which is also a contraction. You know, there's some aversion to it. So if we don't, when typically, not everybody, but typically we don't like emotional pain, and so we tighten up to resist it, hold it back, or push it away. Now that's emotionally, we can do that mentally and also physically. So feeling, knowing emotional pain, experiencing emotional pain, also creates contraction. So I'm not saying we have to like physical pain, or emotional pain, excuse me. But if we shut down around it or towards it, then what are we doing? We're containing it. It's the same with physical pain. If we shut down around or tighten around an area of physical discomfort, we're containing that area. So let's go to mental pain. When there's mental pain, what's happening in your body generally? Generally, we're not loose and free. The body shapes around or contracts around mental pain just as it does emotional pain. So there's resistance. I don't like it. And we don't have to like it, but if you don't like it and you tighten, this is the Salata Sutta. This is the double or the second arrow, you know, adding pain to something that's already uncomfortable. So generally, mental pain has a partner of physical pain, and usually it's pretty braided with emotional pain as well. Do you know what I mean? Can we relate? So we might think, okay, well, the teachings are to accept what is. Yes, that's true. But accepting and not liking aren't necessarily two different things. And accepting doesn't mean that we're passively experiencing life, whatever happens, it's all okay. And accepting also doesn't mean that we can't want to do something with what we're experiencing. In other words, be kinder to ourselves, or go and get some support, or take some medicine, or stretch. Whatever is called for, yeah? So we can accept pain without liking it as well. Now that's, you know, in all the realms, physical, mental, and emotional. We can accept that we're in pain and not shut down around it, even if we don't like it. Does that make sense? So how can we do that? How can we remain... Last time I was here, I talked about being a bowl. For those of you that were here.
Being what?
Being a bowl. Oh, like bowl. Receptive, you know?
Like,
like a bowl. A B-O-W-L.
Oh.
Yeah.
B-O-W-L.
On being a bowl. In other words, just receiving without putting a lid on it. Essentially. And so, hang on one second, or I'll lose my train of thought.
Okay.
And so, how can we not like something want to do something about it and accept it at the same time. Does that seem paradoxical? I don't think it is. So we cannot like something and not have to shut down to it. We cannot like something and it doesn't have to be an aversion or a contraction. We cannot like something and it can actually mean that we're going to take some loving care for ourselves. It can be a call for action, really, a compassionate action. So when we experience discomfort of any kind, it can be interesting, and this has become interesting to me in the last years, is to experience something that I don't like but not have an aversion towards it. Experience something that I don't like and I never would ask for, but I have, and not contract or tighten around it. So that it's almost as if it's or similar to, let's say, really being with strong emotion or emotion that's uncomfortable, let's say, emotion, and titrating or penduluming. So if we, sometimes we think, well, I can't handle this much emotional pain, and so we try to shut it out. We spiritually bypass, we contract against it or around it. We deny it, we distract ourselves, you know, all those things that we're able to do. And what does that do? But it maintains it, yeah? So we know that if we can allow something, if we can really feel the feelings, then the feelings will only last for so long. We'll give them space to move through. Right? Opposite of contraction, shutting down, pushing away. So we can have strong emotions and not enjoy them. But what can happen, and I speak from experience, what can happen is it can still be rather interesting. The same with mental pain. Some of this has to do with how heavily or not heavily we identify or relate to what is we're experiencing. How much of it do we think is me? I've blamed it. I mean, I've caused it. I'm to blame. Or me and somebody else did it to me, right? So there's that automatic ego that says, whoo, all about me, and let's find the cause and let's eradicate it now. Or something like that. But we take it so personally that we'll do anything to get away from it. Now, if we don't take it so personally and we see it more universally, whatever it is that we're experiencing that's painful, then that can be kind of interesting. We're not feeling alone in it, where there's no isolation. It's not me and you or me and the rest of you. I know that all of us feel this from time to time. That makes me feel a little better, can make all of us feel a little better. That's why, you know, especially sitting up front here and seeing you nod your head, I feel better. We all feel better if we feel not alone, not separate in our suffering. Yeah? And the more we are with our own discomfort, our own pain, our own suffering, then the more we do see that it is universal. And that's part of this, you know, the seeds of compassion, empathy and compassion. And we cultivate that. So we can be in a lot of pain and not have to contract around it. That might take time, but it's totally possible. And we can also be sublet curious, even in the midst of a lot of pain. And that still doesn't mean we have to like it. So curiosity and liking something could be two different things. So you had a question?
Never mind.
Okay.
Long time
ago. Okay. Well, yeah, because I'm sort of at the age where if I lose my train of thought, then it might go. So how do we maintain some spaciousness around what we're not liking and change it, really, by finding spaciousness around what we don't like. Change that from clinging to just knowing how it is. Either attaching or having an aversion towards, and just knowing. Did I say that correctly? Sometimes I've been mixing things up lately. So we can do this in a number of ways. We can maintain a soft body, or at least try to soften around the edges when we notice that we're uncomfortable, for instance, and uncomfortable emotionally or mentally. So have you ever, I just taught a day at Spirit Rock on anxiety, Sunday. And I know that you guys unpack anxiety here as well. Forrest and Lori have. And it's a huge topic right now, isn't it? So there were over 100 people this year and last year when I taught this particular day. And one of the things that I find really interesting to mine as far as interesting territory, is the somatic aspects of discomfort. So physical discomfort has somatic aspects, emotional discomfort does, as does mental. And when we go into the body, we can eventually create some softness and space around whatever it is that we're feeling, or with whatever it is we're feeling. And if that can happen in the body, it not only releases the body, and it's helpful to bring blood and circulation and even eventual healing to the body, and it also helps to not create a cascade of tightness, you know, because we're not paying attention and the whole area of a body gets tight because, you know, everybody's trying to protect themselves and each other there. But it's a way for us not to start shutting down. And it also, if we can soften around, soften the body wherever we're feeling emotional pain, because guaranteed emotional pain is going to have associative sensations. It always does. And the same with mental pain. Mental pain has sensations associated with it. If we can soften the areas of the body that we notice mental pain, emotional pain, or even physical pain, or even just go in the parameter of the area, you know, sometimes just soften around it a little bit, then guess what? We're not involved in the story of it, so we're not identifying with it so much. So we're not necessarily blaming ourselves anymore. That's a relief. We're not trying to find somebody else to blame. That saves a lot of time. We're not trying to figure out how to fix something necessarily, but we can figure out eventually how to take care of ourselves with whatever it is that we're experiencing. But what I'm trying to say is that if we can relax and soften and ease up the body, then it allows whatever it is emotionally and mentally to dissipate. So we can walk in through the door of the body, so to speak, to work with mental and emotional pain. But we can do the same thing with mental and emotional pain, mentally, physically. So let's say we're addressing that we have mental pain. Well, okay, if I see that I am experiencing, or know that I'm experiencing mental or emotional pain, because, you know, they really go together, and I allow myself to be soft with that, it moves the mental and emotional pain through. So we could even be soft in the mind. Now, I'm not talking about dumbing it down, but you can relax your mind. We know this, right, from practice. We can soften our hearts. So both soften and relax, they're somatic experiences. Relaxing the mind can be a real somatic feeling, yeah? Softening the heart, we can feel that too. So you see, I think we can go through any of these portals or doors and address any of our facets and come to a middle point or middle way or balance of some ease and curiosity, even in the midst of things that are really hard and uncomfortable. some of us have a more natural disposition to work in the body. I didn't in the beginning, but I had a body that was experiencing a lot of pain. So I sort of needed to reckon with it. And that's how I know so much about my body and how I've connected with my body over the years. But I did it by sitting in a lot of pain for many, many years. And I still experience pain, you know. I mean, it doesn't really go away in our lives from one time to... We're going to have it from one time to another. So, you know, get to practice with it still. But some of us are, you know, more generally attuned to the body than others. And if you're not, then it's something that you can cultivate. And being embodied is really interesting. You may have noticed, just after sitting for a little while, the difference in how you felt in your body. You might have noticed, for instance, some of the more common things that people notice is weight. So you literally feel the weight of your body a little bit more, and you're closer to the earth, you're more grounded. You're not just metaphorically grounded, you're literally more grounded. We feel our feet on the ground. That usually translates to being a little bit more present. So, but some of us are more attuned to teasing things apart and fleshing things out mentally or emotionally and talking about them. And that's good too, because we know with mindfulness of the mind or mindfulness of emotions, to track things, how did I end up here, in other words, to be able to track thoughts and feelings, when they started, what was the original ignition point here for this cascade of thinking that created so much suffering in my mind. If we can track back, then we go to the origins of the thought or the process, let's say, and we can then eventually make the choices to pay better attention, see when things are starting rather than when they've become full-blown. So we can enter in through the portal of mind and emotions and work that way too. But I like to think that it's actually what I feel is not only most interesting but most holistic, is to approach ourselves from all ways, all of our ways. Is not to put down, cut out, deny, or forget about any of these facets that we have. And depending on what's going on, we might address ourselves one way or another, through one door or another, through one entry point or another. You know, we're all slightly different, and different situations might require different doorways, you know. So pain isn't something that we ask for, but it is something that we have from time to time. And so how do we work with our mind around pain, or our hearts around pain, or our bodies with pain? This is what we garner, gather, and cultivate through our practices. But that's not to mean that we have to like it. So I want to go back to that, because I've been teaching for a while, and the more I've been doing a lot of mentoring, and so I have an opportunity to really work with people one-on-one and ask questions and get feedback. And, you know, there's a real beautiful dance and call and response that goes on in mentoring or coaching or, you know, working with someone over time that I really enjoy. And what I'm hearing more and more is how people that I'm working with is how we blame, shame, and feel guilty about not liking something. Do you know what I mean? As if spiritual practice means that we have to like everything. We don't. So that's why I wanted to say that again, because I think it's a very interesting distinction, is that we can experience pain and not like it, but it doesn't mean we have to shut down around it or push it away. Because it is going to happen, and maybe for some of you right now it's happening. Right? So finding balance, finding some kindness and compassion, I think, really probably is the most important way that we can meet things that we don't like but we have. And finding some kindness towards ourselves sometimes is in knowing that there are other heads nodding or coming together as a community like this over and over again and saying, oh, well, you know, I had these feelings, or I'm feeling this pain in my knee, or my mind keeps doing this, and somebody else says, I know what you mean, and you're like, really? Not that we want to know that somebody else isn't doing so well, but we don't feel so alone in it, right? So we start to experience ourselves as a me and an I and a mine. Of course, we know that part. We know that territory pretty well. But then we also start to experience through meditation, but also through practice, but also through the practice of community, ours. So as we get to know our own mind and our own heart and our own body, essentially what we're doing is getting to know our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. Because we know, well, what's the difference between mine and yours is our experiences, our experiences thus far, and how we've decided or chosen, or sometimes not chosen, a great deal of the time not chosen, to string everything together to create a me. You know, that's the only difference, really, is the story of me as compared to the story of you. But we have more commonalities than we have differences. And so when just sometimes just that can create a little bit of ease. But there doesn't really need to be a discrepancy between my feelings, my pain, and our pain. And we'll find ourselves sometimes teetering between both of these views or leaning into one view more than another. So for instance, let's use physical pain because everybody has some. Well, we all have all the pain, but let's just choose physical pain. Let's say, again, I have pain in my right shoulder. Well, if I really blame myself for the pain in my right shoulder, then there's a whole lot of mental, emotional pain that I'm going to add to that. We know that's the second arrow, right? How I think and feel about my physical pain is really going to add to the physical pain and more. It'll mushroom. But I don't have, again, I don't have to like my physical pain, but I don't have to blame myself for it. Now, I also know that my shoulder is a shoulder, and my body is a body. But if I weigh that too heavily, if I stand on that side of the scale too much, I might become existential or nihilistic. Oh, it's just a body. It's impermanent. And I don't, you know, I really don't care. It really doesn't have any meaning, you know, because it's not mine. I don't own it. So that's like the other side of the imbalance, let's say, if we were going to go into the imbalance of it. But I can have my shoulder, and I feel the pain in my shoulder, and I don't like it, and I can also know that it's a shoulder, and it's a body, and so I don't have to take it personally. So there are these two truths that we can simultaneously hold, and sometimes, you know, again, it's like a balance, it's a scale. And how do we find the middle way between those two? What could be seemingly opposite ends of the spectrum, but really are just two truths. So how do I not hate myself for what I'm feeling or experiencing? Well, partially by not taking whatever is occurring personally. By not identifying with it. By knowing it's part of the human condition, right? And then if I were to say, oh, well, it's just a body and it's going to get old and it's going to die, and so none of the life matters in between any of these things, well, that's an imbalance, right? But and then I could say, but I have a life now and I'd like to wake up for it And I want to take care of my body. I want to open my heart more and feel more. I want to open my mind, and I know I can because of the neuroscientists. They keep telling me that I can. You know, I want to continue to change my mind, open my mind. So we can have my pain, and know that we all experience it, and that helps to balance it out. I can have pain and take care of myself without falling into the category of I, me, mine too much. So that's an interesting place to be in, really, I think, is to know both of those truths and which is more beneficial to focus on right now, or is it about finding the balance? So I'd like to hear from you. That was a lot of information. How does that land or not? Right yet. What can you relate to, or what do you not relate to? Please.
Oh, gosh, so many different things are in the way. I definitely relate to being in my body a lot, and at times in my life I've had a lot of physical pain also, and to the guilt part of that, but I don't know, that's just a comment, but so just so you know, you're not alone. But I relate to that, but I also learned this phrase that I like, but I don't know how Buddhist it is, but it's cheerful indifference, and I like it because even though, you know, like it helps me get out of feeling bad or guilty. And even though it might not be honoring exactly how I'm feeling about it, it shifts something, you know, just by going, okay, well, I just love that phrase, cheerfully indifferent. I think it's kind of, it makes me laugh when I say it, because it's kind of, you know, I don't know that I can always do it.
Yeah.
But it helps me a lot, you
okay.
know, because just like with worldly things, with everything, because, you know, if I'm attached to it, then that's bad. And then if I just go, okay, well, I'm just going to pretend I'm cheerful about it. And I don't know how you guys feel about that being Buddhist, because I know that's a little bit not honoring how it is, maybe.
Yeah.
But it does help shift me personally. And then I also really like, so I guess I don't like feeling badly, because I do try to go to something that pulls me out of that, like, affirmations,
right.
Or like pulling in the light or something like that, and that helps me, and moving gently.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's worth a lot. Thank you. Where I would see a little bit more newer territory for you, mm-hmm. is to take on the perspective that you're gaining when you suggest yourself finding cheerful indifference.
Mm-hmm.
There's some perspective there. That's how it shifts, right? You stepped back, so you
mm-hmm.
see the stream without being in the stream.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would also suggest, which could be really interesting, is to allow yourself to feel it. Not necessarily being cheerful or indifferent, but to really feel it, because that actually lessens the severity and the length of it, whatever it is. So
mm-hmm.
that's more of the, would be more of a dharmic way of thinking.
Yeah,
about it.
Just kind of like being with it. Yeah. I don't know. I think I might do that a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Just don't stay there very long.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Little bits at a time are fine. Absolutely fine. You know, don't jump in until you know how to swim. It's just put your toes in there for a while. That's process. I mean, and all of practice is process. You know, it's we develop, we cultivate. It's over time. We don't want to throw ourselves in any deep end.
Sure.
So there is that, you know, a little bit of a myth that, well, you're feeling pain, you need to just go right in it. Stare it down. And that's not helpful. especially if it's chronic or really acute. Mm-hmm. That's not helpful. So we want to sort of expand our idea of practice in those terms. And we definitely want to expand our idea of what compassion is towards ourselves. So finding that little bit of distance and perspective and a view is really, really helpful. And that is dipping your toe in not identifying so much, right? So if you, what I would suggest is try just a little more. And maybe even choose some different words. Like indifference, you know, you do care. You're not indifferent. Smiling about it is acting as if, but that's okay. You know, that's a somatic. You can start to change mental and emotional things through your body, and a smile can shift that. Mm-hmm. But you do care.
Sure.
So that's the I care about my body, and it's a body at the same time, right?
Yeah.
So as long as it's not making you not care, indifference can sometimes sound like that, and I don't know how you're experiencing it. But as long as it doesn't mean that you're not caring, it doesn't matter, then that word's okay. But if it means that you're not caring and it doesn't matter, then come back to mine and I do care. And how can come back to me, mine. This is my experience. And how can I care about myself during it? Because that allows for really soft space, that tenderness, you know. And when we do care about ourselves when we're going through something difficult, it actually allows it to go. Much more quickly, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate what you've said. Thank you. Yeah. One more question. Yeah. Two more questions, and then yeah.
Yeah. I've had a birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I'm aware of how so many people, as they get older, get very dark.
Yeah.
And depressed. And I'm beginning to understand that, as it seems like the pain, the injuries of years of living seem to come to fore as we age. It seems to fill our bodies more than it ever has before. It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think what you're saying is so important, to be able to... Now, if I've got this right, to be able to look at it and feel it and stay with it and then move through it.
Yeah, and take care of yourself during it.
Yeah.
You know, because the alternative is to be in denial or, again, shut down around something or contract and push it away.
Yeah.
And it's what you're experiencing is the process of having a body getting older.
Yes.
Right? So we have a choice. We don't have to like getting older.
No. Actually, I'm quite delighted.
You are?
Oh, I consider the alternative.
Exactly. Well, and then there is that.
I reached the point where I've outlived all of my family.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, getting older is not for wimps. And,
yeah, no.
You know. But it is this precious life, right?
Yes.
And so getting older or injuries or illnesses are just this fodder for practicing and staying tender and kind to ourselves and one another with what we are universally from one time to another, or, you know, maybe at the same time experiencing in having a human birth, right? So, yeah. You know, and that's a big topic. Aging is a very important topic. Thank you. And the alternative, it's not great right now. Anyway, who knows? Maybe it is. We don't know. One more.
I hadn't put much thought into pain. I got this realization: it's really hard to love your body when it really hurts.
It is.
And how the practice can help you see it as though it's not the whole body. The body's still good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the pain, sort of teasing that little piece out.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that really created a barrier between me and my body when I had that pain in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's pretty normal. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to spend a whole lot of time with something that's not comfortable. But if we can be our own best friend and cultivate a better relationship with ourselves, then we can be there, right there for ourselves all along the way. And that eases everything. Because when we feel alone in anything, it's harder. So our own relationship with ourselves, which is self-compassion, or part of it, you know, that's what we, I think, intend to develop, yeah? And that's why I asked you to bring your intentions forward in the beginning, because what we intend, we become. Intentions are volitional. They will move us towards, right? And if we keep practicing, this is the good news, and this is the generosity of practice, what we practice, we will become. And those of you who've been practicing longer know this really well. And those of you who've been practicing just a little bit, you know it's possible, and you've experienced some of those shifts already.
And a very quick comment. There's all sorts of different pain, but once in a while, when I've had an ache or something that's bothering me, I may just imagine embracing it.
Yeah. And how does that? And how does that change what you're experiencing?
Sometimes it just softens it.
Sometimes it does.
Not always.
And then I would invite you to feel good about that, not in a prideful way, but
exactly.
To feel really good about that, because that's the power of the mind, intentions, heart, practice, etc. Because we do have those choices. We may not always make them, and that's okay. Who's 100%? The Buddha, probably, or people that have become enlightened. But we're not there yet. I don't think so, anyway. Maybe, can't really say. But, you know, we need to honor when we can take care of ourselves in that way. Really honor it. Just as much as we honor the things that we don't do. So talk about balance, you know. Allow the goodness in, feel the goodness. Feel the times in that there's absence of pain. Because that's just as important as focusing on the times of pain, whether it's physical, emotional, or discomfort. We can really appreciate without attaching to the times that we don't really feel pain. Or that we can appreciate without attaching the times when we feel real joy or peace or ease or silence or space. We can really appreciate those times. The absence of anger, the absence of grief, the absence of physical discomfort, etc. And appreciate what we do have when we have it without the opposite of aversion becoming attached. Because we also contract around what we want. And we try to hold that, you know, that's the whole other story to pain. That creates pain too. But we're almost out of time. So what time do we end?
8:30.
Yeah, we're almost out of time. So we can't even look at that aspect, but I would recommend that you do. So just notice what you contract around and how. Mentally, emotionally, physically. It could be discomfort, but it can also be something very extraordinarily pleasant. When there's an opportunity, there can be contraction, resistance, attachment, aversion, takes all flavors. But how are we with life in the times that aren't comfortable? This is where we have our choices. So if you can, notice how your body responds, how your heart responds, how your mind responds, and how they commingle. And work with one, with some kindness. Work with one of those aspects or facets of you, of yourself, of having a body, having a mind, having a heart. Whatever makes sense to you in the moment, whatever your doorway is in. Because they all spiral around or lead towards the same place, right? Of hopefully cultivating more and more self-compassion which leads to compassion in general for all of us, not just ourselves. So thank you for sitting through me talking about pain. It's really very great to be here because I feel comfortable enough to try things out like this with you. May it be somewhat fruitful, and whatever isn't, you know the scene. You can just leave it right here. Yeah, just pass it along. And I'm always happy to hear from you if you want to follow up with me and say, you know, I was struck by something that you said, and I've been playing around with it, experimenting, and it worked or it didn't. I like to hear that just as much. Feel free to reach out. And I have, you can give me your email if you want to be on my email list. You know, I have a website like you have to nowadays. And but I would, you know, love to continue processing, all of us processing together, because this is, I think, what we need to do in the world is have our community, our spiritual friends, learn from each other, continue to support each other in any way that we can, in the best ways that we can. So thank you very much for coming.